Welcome to Widowed Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. I'm sitting here with my friend and co-host, Mark Massaro. How's it going, Mark?
It's going well, Michelle. It's going well, Michelle. How are you?
Good. Okay, funny. So Joel comes home yesterday. He has a long commute. He goes, I should pay Mark for all the shout-outs he gives me.
Yes, I agree, Joel.
he had just listened to our, you know, Babble Fest of an hour and was saying that you shouted him out a lot. So thanks. So
yes, no problem, Joel. You are worthy of my friendship.
Yes. So should we, give our audience another hour? Like, that wasn't enough of our lives last week?
That wasn't enough. We should keep going. But I just want to expand more on Joel.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that Tina and I talked about him for quite a bit last night also. And we're
oh,
just
I want to hear.
How we just think he's a really great guy.
Me too.
Just kind of, I was kind of, because she had listened to the podcast and she thought it was really sweet, all the stuff I was saying about Joel. And, you know, instead she agreed. And I was like, there's just something about him when he walks in the room that it's just like, hey, you know. We were just talking about him and how, like, we just think he's a really great guy.
Oh, he is.
We think you're
guy.
Awesome, Joel.
We love you, Joel.
That will be $26, please.
Anyways, well, what's been going on since our last podcast where we told everything? Anything
well,
in the last
since,
like
since we
couple
recorded
days,
like 2 days
Saturday,
ago? You know what? Actually,
okay,
I did want to report
something?
Back. Yes.
Okay.
So the last time we were on here, I was talking about how I bought Tina a Oculus VR
because
we're in a long distance relationship. And but we hadn't had a chance to play it. Well, the last couple of days we have been playing it and it is so cool. Like it seriously
so
feels like a date night. We played like miniature golf and golfing and bowling. And it's super cool because, like, instead of just us talking on the phone all the time at night or whatever before bed, it's like we were actually, like, seeing each other, even though it was an avatar.
So fun.
But it's like I could see her, like, when she'd, like, get a strike in bowling, I'm, like, putting my hands up and, like, cheering or, you know, whatever. And it was, like, and you can give each other, like, thumbs up. And, like, I was, like, kind of, like, dancing when she, like, did something cool or whatever. It's really neat. It's, like, totally broadened our horizons of long-distance dating. So, yeah, it was, like, it totally felt like a date night. It really felt like we were hanging out.
That is so cool.
Which is super cool. Yeah, and we're, you can chat and everything.
Yeah, so when Joel and I were long distance, sometimes we would watch movies together through, like, different apps like Amazon or Disney where you can share. It's called a group. I don't know. It's called something where you watch it together. Watch Party. Did you guys ever do that?
No, but I didn't know that. But I know you can do that on the Oculus.
And, oh, okay.
Like, you can log into Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Cool.
And join, set up a party and join and watch, like, a movie together. So, no, I didn't know you could do that without – like some device or something.
Sometimes it would be a little bit off, but it was about the same. So we did that several times. I was like, let's watch a movie together.
Cool. Yeah, doesn't it feel like different than just talking on the phone or whatever?
Yes.
It feels like you're actually doing something together.
Yeah,
so.
You have to be creative with long distance.
So. Yes. So it's like we do
Oculus.
Anything.
That's...
It's awesome. We do anything we can to, like, you know, help fill that distance between when we get to see each other.
Mm-hmm. And
so
is it still like every month, like once a month, or how often do you guys see each other?
It is once a month, generally. Sometimes if I'm lucky, it's twice a month. But, you know, it feels, you know, there's like that first week that is like,
yes,
oh, man,
I remember all
like
this.
After she would leave and it's like, oh, man, like back to, you know. Back to reality. And then the second week was just kind of numb. And then the third week is like, oh, it's around the corner.
Countdown.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so, you know, we make it work and hopefully it won't be this way for all that much longer, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
How things go. But anyway, so we tried. So, you know, anyways, the point of that was to say that my birthday gift was successful. I felt a little
good
weird
job.
Buying her VR headset. You know, it's like, not a typical gift,
but it's awesome. It's very thoughtful.
It's been super cool. We played this mini golf game. We were cracking up because there's you can go into like this big mode where you're like looking over the whole golf course And so when she turns around and she looks up, like there's this giant head of me in the sky. And like, and then I could like look down and she'd see my like head like coming in and I'd be like, ho, green giant. So, you know, just anyways, so we just had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, and just, we didn't have to just sit there and think of stuff to talk about. Not that we really have a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
But it's still nice to just, you know, it's mindless. It's mindless getting to hang out in a virtual world. So anyways, plus her avatar is like super pretty and cute. So
oh, I'm
like,
sure.
Hey, girl. No.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. Yeah. So anyways, so what's been up with you in the last 2 days, the last 48 yeah. hours?
No, it's been a few more days.
I know.
Like Saturday. So, I think I had some like, some grief pieces and things that I'm always like, oh, I need to talk about this on the podcast. So I'm going to remember, not really grief, but Haley had a big concert a couple nights ago at school, and it was like the Haley show. She was involved in like pretty much everything. There's only two seniors, and so she does a lot. She helps with the sixth grade choir. She does all these things. And she had two like main parts. Like one of them, and if you haven't seen it, you got to go check it out on my Facebook, is when she does a gospel song and she gets like into it. She's wearing a choir robe. I had no idea she was going to do a choir robe. And she comes out and she's like doing this gospel thing. She gets the audience involved and like asks them questions. It's so cute. It was so good.
That's awesome.
And then the other one like brought me to tears, and it was Trust in You. And she played on the piano. Never had a piano lesson at all, but she was playing the song on the piano and singing Trust in You. And it's just like these words spoke to me so much. Like, when I can't see you, you know, you part the waters. Just like basically about trusting in God. And it was like, I kind of had a little grief moment during that. Just like, oh, I wish Luke was here to see this, you know? And like we talk about, I believe God lets, like there's a little window. Like I believe God lets our loved ones see the happy moments. They can't be sad in heaven, but I believe that he was able to see that and also see her do her like whole like gospel song and just all of it. But I need to back up to talk about like an interesting part. So Luke's mom now lives like 2.5 hours away from us. So the kids don't see him that often, see them and the cousins and everything, but they decided to come for Haley's concert. So it was my mother-in-law, which is interesting. I have two mother-in-laws now. So mother-in-law, meaning when I say that, I have to clarify, I'm like Luke's mom and then Luke's niece and nephew, which I consider them my niece and nephew too. They decided to come and Joel cooked dinner for all of us. And
nice.
At first she thought, I was like, we want to have dinner. She's like, where? I'm like, no, Joel wants to cook. He's an awesome cook. So he made my favorite soup, the Zuppa Toscano, like from scratch. He made it that night. And we all sat down to eat. And that's a first. You know, they came to our wedding. They've met Joel before, but like that much time to just like all of us sit down and just talk about what's going on in everybody's life. And it was just beautiful, you know?
That's
and
awesome.
So, yeah. And then we were in the car on the way to the concert, just me and him. And I was like, was that awkward for you? He goes, no, not at all. And he's like, I was like, why not? He's like, it just was. And I go, yeah, it's
because I'm awesome and I'm Joel.
Yeah. But it was probably more awkward for them, like being in my house with a different husband. And but they've been over before, but I just thought it was beautiful. Like I was just looking
That's
at
awesome.
And, you know, we were talking about Luke in front of Joel, you know, and he's totally cool. Like, oh, I know what the grief moment was. I was talking to my niece, Clara, who's now 19. She's done YWAM. She's just like serving the Lord, doing all these great things. And she's volunteered for 2 more years with YWAM. And I didn't know I was going to cry. I just said, I just want to tell you, like, I'm so proud of you. And Luke is too. And then Luke's mom's crying. And we're all like having this moment. I just got all teary just knowing how happy he would be for what she's doing. And like, it was just like this moment we all had, you know, and we cried. And then, you know, and then their grandma cried through the whole concert, you wow. know, just, it was beautiful. So it was a really cool moment to blend both worlds, and they got to know Joel better and, just see how he welcomes them in. And he is not threatened by my late husband's family. You know, I think that's just, it's beautiful. And so I want that for everybody, you know, make
Absolutely.
Sure you're dating somebody. They would be good in that situation. Ask yourself, would they be able to do that situation, you know, and do it well? So anyways, I don't have a million things. I'm getting closer to my goals with my new business.
Nice.
And I'm probably going to promote on the end of the month, which is like a couple days. So doing good with that and having people over. And so it's going
awesome.
good. But Let's get into our episode. They heard enough from us last time, so yeah. We're going to get right into it. I'm really excited about this. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guests and then have her talk. So her name is Christina Napoleon. I met her through the magic of TikTok. And the first thing I remember is her talking about this book called The Positive Widow. And I was like, that sounds really good. Let me just go to Amazon and get that. And I read it. If you're there, you can see it. Well, you know, I have an iPad, so it's hard to see. The Positive Widow. Yes, right there. And I took it to Puerto Rico and read it on the beach. And as I'm reading it, I'm like discussing everything with Joel. I'm like, this is a good book. Like, what do you think about this part? And I'm like, it's this acronym of like hope. And like, Jack Canfield is in the first part of her book, like a foreword by Jack Canfield. And I was like, this lady's amazing. And then she applied to be like, we kind of started like comments on each other's TikToks. And then she applied to be a guest. And you guys are going to learn so much from her. She truly lives up to her name, The Positive Widow, because she really is positive. And she shows you like step by step in this book how to be positive. And we're going to talk more about the book near the end, but we're going to get started with getting into Christina's story. So how are you today, Christina?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah.
The opportunity.
Yes, we are so excited to have you. And you are from sunny Florida. What area are you in?
I'm in Sarasota area.
Okay. Is that...
Everyone knows Siesta Key because it's like the number one beach in the world.
Right. Yeah.
I'm in, I would say I'm between Sarasota and Fort Myers.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're super excited to have you. So we're just going to get right into it because you have so many amazing things to share. So let's go ahead and start with your story about your husband and like how you guys met and just kind of tell us about your life with him.
So I'm originally actually from Chicago.
Okay.
Chi-town.
What?
Chi-town.
Chi-town, yes. So I am a Southsider too, believe it or not. Everyone's like, you are from the Southside? I'm like, yeah. But I moved to Florida right after high school and started college. And I started my career in banking, and that's how I met my husband. He did not work for the same bank that I worked for. He was a wholesaler and sold annuities. But he would come and do presentations and he'd try to ask me out. And I'm like, nope, I can't date you. And he thought I was playing hard to get. And I'm like, no, I was on this mission of climbing that corporate ladder. And I thought he was going to get in the way of it. And he's like, but I don't work for the same company. You can date me. He just kept coming to my office and leaving me chocolates and gifts. And he just really would not let go of trying to date me.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I finally said yes, and then we had a hard time trying to conceive, trying to have a baby. So we struggled with that after we got married. So I am actually I had my daughter later than most moms because of the struggle with that. So I was 34. But I think right now she keeps me younger because everyone is like, oh, you look so much younger than your age. And I'm like, it's because I have a teen daughter. So we got married, and then I wanted to have a second baby as soon as we got married. After having Emma 9 months later, we got pregnant right away. By the way, this is a God story that you wouldn't even imagine, but I can share that for another time. After we had Emma, I just really wanted another baby, and he's like, let's wait for the 2-year mark. And I'm like, why do we have to wait? You know? And he's like, because it's going to be hard to have 2 little ones with diapers. So it's August 28th. Emma's birthday is September 15th. She's not 2 years old yet. And we were packing up to go to the beach. He was outside with Emma. And I'm like, oh, I forgot the beach towels. I ran back inside. And I came running out with the beach towels. And he was collapsing. And he had her in his arms. Oh, wow. She's not 2 years old yet. So I called 911. I thought he had a heart attack. I didn't know what was happening. And unfortunately, that's when we found out that he had a very rare type of cancer. And it was in his bronchial. It was a carcinoid tumor. And so he had to have major surgery. They had to like split his ribs apart to get to the tumor.
Oh.
Very, very, very painful cancer. And he fought bravely, though. He fought for almost 5 years. So I am one of those caregivers that lived in denial. I thought he was going to survive. because he was 3 weeks shy of his 5-year survival rate. So when I entered widowhood, I entered it with disbelief. And unfortunately, when we are taking care of our husbands, if we're caregivers, a lot of times after our husband passes away, we get people think that, hey, you knew he was going to die, he was sick, it's time for you to move on. So I would get a lot of that after my husband's passing, because everyone thought, well, you were lucky, at least you had almost 5 years after his cancer diagnosis, at least you're young enough, you can get remarried, at least you can have more children. And so there was just a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people that just don't understand that even if you are a caregiver and you can enter widowhood and still feel completely lost. Yeah. The night that he died, so as I said, I worked in finance and banking, and I was used to checklists. I knew when I walked into the office what was expected. My assistants would have the checklist, and I knew, okay, I have to check all this off before I enter my parking lot to go home. And I, unfortunately, that night, nobody gave me checklists. Nobody gave me any guides and told me, this is the first step you need to take when you enter widowhood. This is the first step you need to take when you become a solo mama. Because my daughter at that point was only 6 years old when I lost my husband. And nobody told me what to do. And I was very lost. And so I unfortunately, even though my faith is very strong, my dad was the treasurer of our church. Every Sunday we were at church, and it wasn't we were done after service. We were there all day as my dad was counting the money. I played the piano for our church. But after my husband passed away, I still went to church all the time. And my daughter actually went to a private Christian school. It was connected to Little Chapel, and Father Roy let me come every morning and go into the chapel and talk to God. That's where I felt very close and connected to God. But I didn't pay attention to God telling us not to fear. And instead of believing and leading with my faith, I led and moved more into my fears. As a solo mom, especially, he didn't have life insurance. So all the financial worries would suffocate me at night, wake me up in the middle of the night. If I got sick, I would wake up with panic attacks, thinking I was going to die and leave my daughter an orphan. And I just started suffering with all kinds of physical ailments, and I didn't realize it was anxiety. I had no idea what anxiety was. And I do talk about that a lot in my book. But yeah, instead of leaning into my faith, I was leaning more into the fear. And I didn't realize that leaning into the fear would bring on all of that darkness that I stayed in. I suppressed my emotions. I didn't do the grief work to journal or to lean into my faith or do gratitude prayers. I'm like, why are you telling me to be grateful? I just lost my husband. I had no idea what that meant. You can grieve and have gratitude at the same time. So, yeah, so that's a little bit about my husband and my story.
That's really interesting. And I like the honesty, because especially in the beginning, it is so easy to give in to the fear. And even though, you know, a lot of me, like, I was leaning into God for my healing and for my strength to get through, but it doesn't stop the fears of, like, oh my gosh, like, am I, because I also have, I have two little kids, and there is this overwhelming feeling of, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm responsible for everything. And it can be overwhelming and cause a lot of fear. And and like when you said, you know, getting sick or whatever, it also reminds you, like, Michelle and I have talked about this on the podcast a lot, that there is this automatic fear that comes with all of this of, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to my kids if I die? I saw how quickly and out of nowhere mommy got sick and died. What's to say that's not right around the corner for me too? And so, yeah, like you said, like, every little thing you feel, you're like, oh, what was that? You know, like,
yes,
absolutely. And then I was scared to call 911. Number one, and my body was, like, paralyzed with the fear, but I didn't want Emma to see an ambulance come up to our house again. I didn't want her to be scared. Now what's going to happen to mommy? We just lost daddy. So
I so relate to that.
So we sacrifice a lot as parents, so especially as solo parents, just to help our children move through their grief that I shut down my grief so I could be strong for her. So,
yeah. And that's hard because then you suppress it. And, you know, it's kind of like, what do you say, Michelle, putting on the oxygen mask for yourself first, or whatever.
Before you help those around you. Yes, you got to take care of you. That is so true.
But we so often just neglect what we're feeling. I don't know when your husband passed away. Michelle and I, it was in 2020 that we lost our spouses.
He died in 2015, so mine's a longer journey. But I do talk about that in my book, that because I suppressed my emotions, I pushed them down. I didn't do any grief work. Then my mom passed away so unexpectedly, and she was only in her 60s and had a stroke. And then I became a full-time caregiver to my dad, and then he passed away 2.5 years ago. So it was when my dad passed away that all of the losses came up. And it crippled me because I didn't realize that if you don't work through your grief, it's going to come up just like where I live here by the beach. All those waves, those grief waves will knock you down when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. And also, I lost my brother when I was 9 years old, and we weren't allowed to talk about him in our house. And we were never allowed to say his name. It was just something we weren't allowed to talk about. So that's how I grew up, and thinking, oh, we don't talk about grief. You know, we don't even mention their name. But when I lost my husband, I realized, boy, we really live in an uneducated grief society, because nobody wanted to mention his name around me. And I'm like, I think they were scared that if they brought up his name, it would be a reminder to me. And I'm like, oh, I don't need to be reminded every morning I wake up. He's not here. Every night, he's not here. I don't have anybody to talk to about how do I raise my daughter now. I don't need you to remind me that he's not here. I would have loved for them to just come over and share stories about him, say his name. So inside my private widow group on Facebook, it's called The Positive Widow, I always do lives, and I'm always telling them, it's okay to say their name. Continue to say your husband's name. Doesn't mean you're living in the past. We are, by continuing to honor his memory, we're carrying him forward with us as we're moving forward. You don't move on. You don't get over him, which so many people told me, you need to get over this. They don't understand. By saying his name, we continue to carry our love for him inside of our hearts. And those are the baby steps that we take as we move forward in our grief journey.
Absolutely.
I wanted to read a little paragraph from your book. It's in the beginning. You're explaining grief. I love this. In our culture, we are raised not to express feelings. We are led to believe that normal expressions of grief can be considered a weakness. The truth is that grieving after a loss is a natural human expression. You are in grief because of love. How lucky you were to have experienced that love. How many of you would choose grief every single day over never having shared that kind of love with your husband? I know I would. And then another paragraph. There's no universal timeline in grief. I want you to know your grief journey does not have to be as dark as my grief journey was. Raising awareness and a true understanding of grief is now my passion, so no widow should ever have to grieve alone in silence or shame. It's powerful. Wow. You're a great writer. Yeah, like I was just like, this book, like I'm going to put the link, I'm serious. Like, I don't think we've ever really endorsed anybody's book. I mean, maybe there's a few here and there, but like this one is, I will tell you, hands down, my favorite. I've read a lot of grief books. Besides, I mean, this is my, like what I teach from the Grief Recovery Handbook, which is awesome. But as far as like a story, like a widow sharing, this is for all grief, but like a widow specific grief book, it's like it explains grief, it explains like steps, which I hope we'll get to in just a minute, but like you have so much wisdom. So tell us about, so you lost your husband, you were in a dark place, like how did you get out of this dark place and get to where you are now?
It was after my dad died, honestly, when all of the losses came up all at once, and I was at my darkest days, and I was in and out of the emergency room so many times, and I write about this in the book, Michelle, you probably saw that, like, I had no idea that there's actually something called the broken heart syndrome. None of my doctors told me that. I kept going in thinking I was having a heart attack because the symptoms of an anxiety, which I didn't know, mirror heart attack symptoms. And I couldn't take a chance that, okay, this is a false alarm. No, I had to go every single time because my little girl, God forbid something did happen and it was a heart attack. And they would just look at me and they would tell me it was in my head, that it was grief, and that it was just a simple anxiety attack. And when I go to speaking events, I'm always asking them, raise your hand if you've ever suffered with anxiety. Is there anything simple about anxiety? No, it crushes you, it cripples you. And it was one night after my dad passed away, and I was discharged from the hospital in the middle of the night, and I was so scared to go to sleep. I truly thought, even though they told me I was okay, I still had the racing heartbeat, the numbness in my arm, my chest was hurting so bad that I didn't sleep. I just sat up in bed, and by early morning hours, I just ended up on the bathroom floor because in Florida, there's tile throughout your house mostly, and it was cold, the tile floor. And when I would have anxiety attacks, my face was flushed with heat. And it was in that moment where I really thought I was dying. It was in that moment where I finally realized that I never asked a specific prayer to God. I always asked him to help me, but in that moment on that bathroom floor was when I just asked God to please release all of my anxiety, please release all these negative thoughts, all these negative emotions, all the fears, worries. And I kid you not, after years of suffering with this, within 20 minutes of giving it to God, all of a sudden I felt this cooling sensation, which was such a wonderful gift. Because my face, my body was overheated. All my symptoms started to diminish, and I didn't have the headache anymore. I could open my eyes without it being painful. And it was me asking that specific prayer to God. And in that moment, instead of feeling, because I started to feel sorry for myself, I felt like an orphan. I felt, I'm a bereaved wife. Now I'm a bereaved daughter, a bereaved sister. And I felt alone every time I went to the emergency room. And in that moment, I realized, how can you have hope if you don't believe in God? There is no way that you can have hope without God in your life. Because if it weren't for God that morning on that bathroom floor, I wouldn't have had hope that God would get me through this. So that's how I realized, okay, I need to make this decision. Do I want to stay stuck at the bottom of the darkest ocean? And not be even a human being for my daughter, a good mom for my daughter, just always in bed crying? Or do I want to make a decision of swimming through those grief waves to get back to the shoreline and see the light and start to enjoy life? Because that was my first, almost like the first glimmer of hope on that bathroom floor. I realized if I don't work with God, if I don't let God, if I don't open my heart to God to let Him just heal my body, place his healing hands on my broken heart, there was no way that I was going to have hope. So I started to immerse myself in life coaching, grief education. That's how I became a certified grief educator, a certified grief coach. Anything that I could get certifications for, self-care. And there's so many certifications you can get. But I just dove deep into
That's
personal growth,
huge.
healing, and I started to go to church. And it was in church, that's in my book too, about the day that God called on me. And I was like, no, God, why are you calling on me? It felt like Pastor Micah was talking right to me in church, and he was talking about Moses and how Moses did not feel like he was qualified for the calling. And this was 3 months after my dad died, I think. And I was sitting there and I just started to cry. And I'm like, all of a sudden, there was this loud noise in my head about, oh my gosh, he wants me to serve widows. But I come from finance. Why would he think that I'm going to all of a sudden become a healer when I work in finance? And I didn't understand the calling. I ignored his calling. And the more I ignored his calling, the worse my symptoms got, and the more my fear turned into anxiety. So once I finally embraced his calling, that was when I stumbled a little bit, I'm finding the right path. I've fumbled and stumbled. But then once I landed on God's path for me, where he was using me as his vessel, this book was written and became a number one bestseller.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. On the day that I launched, it reached number one. And my group inside Facebook, The Positive Widow, we have thousands of members, and I do lives in there, and I do Zoom trainings, and I'm just super passionate about raising awareness about grief and spousal loss. That's my main mission, because like I was Saturday at a missionary and I spoke about grief and how we still live in this uneducated grief society.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody wants to hear about it. Then I was the one, I'm sure you guys did the same, where people, when I went back to work, how are you? I always said, I'm okay. I'm good. Really, I'm good. Because I knew that made them more comfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So here I was, I just lost my husband, but I was more worried about making them more comfortable that I wore that invisible mask all day. So, yeah.
I love awareness. Yeah. In your book, I was just looking at this. You have things like things to say and do with someone that's grieving. Like, you give practical advice that they could share, the person sharing, reading this could share. You know, check on them often. You must be the one to pick up the phone to call or text them. They're too grief-stricken to initiate the phone calls. Continue to help them after the funeral, memorial service, or celebration, or life ceremony. Please, you know, there's so, I mean, you have all these great tips that they could easily show to their friends. Like, you know, I love it, because you're not just like, they're not just like reading this book. And then there's a whole like things not to say to someone grieving. It just takes time. I understand how you feel. They're in a better place. This is my least favorite one. God needed another angel. Oh, I hate that one. They don't turn into angels.
Yeah, I was going to say, first of all, it's biblically inaccurate.
Right? You know, and you just have this whole list of things. Oh, and then what you were just talking about, please refrain from saying at least. At least he's no longer suffering. At least you're young. You can meet someone new. You know, you just go through these at least. Like, that's a horrible thing to say to people. You know, and so you're giving...
It invalidates their feelings.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think why I love this book so much is because there are very few books about grief education. And I'm sure you know this, that the stages of grief, like the seven stage, blah, 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 those invented for people dying, not for those grieving. And so then people are like, I'm not in anger. I'm not in denial. What's wrong with me? That's not how it works. Right? And like, so
I judged myself based on that.
Right. It's so like messed up. So there's very few, this is, I mean, besides the grief recovery method, this is the only other book that I've seen that actually educates people on like what grief is, because it's so misunderstood in the book, grief recovery, which I see you go through some of this too, the grief myths, you know, like just be strong, time heals all wounds, like just all of these things. And so I love that there's another book on the market that's like breaking it down to like what it is. And then you go into this next chapter, secondary losses. You know, we have all of these secondary losses that happen, and just like, just so many, just here, some secondary losses that impact a widow: loss of your best friend, loss of your identity as a wife, loss of financial security, loss of social role, and on and on and on. And it's true. Like every, we talk about that when you become a widow, literally everything in your life changes, literally everything, how you eat, how you sleep, how you, you know, just like everything. And so you're really acknowledging that, which makes the reader feel like, you know, when you connect with the reader, you did a good job. Like, whoa, I feel this too, you know? And then I'd love if you could talk about, because it's talking about, as I'm going through the book here, your four-step hope philosophy. Can you share with the listeners what that is?
So in my book, the first chapter, as you saw, was understanding grief. Because at first and I don't know if I shared this yet here on the podcast about how I almost didn't finish my book. So I wrote my book the first, and it took me over a year, and I struggled finishing my book. And I one day just shut my laptop down. I went to my daughter's room and I said, Mommy's not going to finish her book. She's not going to be an author. And my daughter was shocked because she saw me writing so like for over a year. And she's like, well, Daddy, and you raised me not to be a quitter. Why are you going to quit, Mommy? And I didn't know like why I couldn't finish the book. And she looked at me and she says, I know why, Mommy. You don't want to say goodbye to Daddy. Every morning you wake up, you get to wake up and write about your love story with Daddy. And you think if you finish the book, that you have to say goodbye to Daddy all over again. So the next morning I went to the beach and I just gave it all to God and asked him to use me as his vessel because I didn't write about God in my first draft at all. I was trying to be that people pleaser, the treasurer of our church and everything. But it wasn't until that morning when I gave it all to God and asked him to use me as his vessel, help me put the words that he wants me to use in my book, the message he wants me to share. I went back and rewrote my book. So it took me only 8 days after I gave it to God. Mm-hmm. And that's when I added that understanding grief chapter. I didn't even have that in my first draft.
Oh, wow. And it's so good, too.
And it just all poured out. And so my four-step hope philosophy is it's all centered around the word hope. And it's heal your heart is the first part of it. And then open your heart, protect your heart, and encourage your heart. Mm. So it's all centered around that. And I'm actually launching my grief relief group coaching program next week, starting April 2nd, and it's all driven around the word hope, and I have some grief experts that are coming in as guests, and it's, again, about self-care, and I say in one of my chapters, I think it's in Protect Your Heart, when I really suffered with anxiety, that to me now, one of my self-care strategies is the power of prayer.
Yeah,
and that was new, because that was not in my first draft, because I was tiptoeing around anything about God, because I was trying to people please. So, so everything like the heal your heart is all about, you have to take care of your body. So I do talk about how we lose weight at first after we lose our spouse. But then for me, unfortunately, I turned it to what I call griefy eating, which is
griefy eating.
I do.
I
in
love
my
that.
Book, I said griefy eating.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
people will turn to, I've seen where they turn to alcohol, they've turned to substance abuse, just different coping mechanisms. For me, it was late at night after my daughter was finally asleep and I could finally just let go, and it was one night I was just pacing again, because I'm sure like me, you would wake up at 3:33 or that's every night, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. So one night I finally turned on the TV and Friends was on, and I just was like, it was so comforting me. It felt like, oh wow, here's Friends, you know, like characters that I know. And I kid you not, I ate everything that was inside my pantry, which was all my daughter's food, because before that night, I had no appetite. And by the morning time, it was all gone, and I didn't even know I did that. Mm-hmm. So I share about loss of appetite. I share about coping mechanisms. I talk about walking and how important it is. And it wasn't until I started walking, which was, you think that's such an easy thing to do. Oh, just get out of bed and go for a walk. My bereavement counselor was like, what did you like to do before your husband, you know, and you got married? I'm like, oh, I loved walking. She's like, well, why aren't you doing it? So I tried to walk the next morning. Nope, I couldn't get out of bed. I told myself that if I could just get out of bed for 1 minute, I negotiated with myself, walk outside for 1 minute, I can go back to bed, put on his white, he loved white Hanes t-shirts. I have no idea why. And I would put that on, I would spray his cologne, and I would hold his picture and I would cry. And then I just added one more minute every day. But that first day that I started walking, that's when I realized I could see the blue sky. I could see the green grass again, because I lived in a world of darkness. And that's when I started to practice gratitude prayers, because I felt so connected to God when I was outside. And, you know, because heaven is right there, because the sky is right there. So, and I live by the beaches. So I started walking and talking with God. That was part of my self-care strategy. So that's part of protecting your heart, and making sure you go to your doctors, because widow's fog is so real. And my grief therapist did not even ever tell me about widow's fog. You would think that they would know that, but they know textbook grief.
Yeah.
They don't always know what it's like to lose a spouse. So, so then in the open your heart, wow, I go vulnerable. Vulnerability is a big part of open your heart, and about gratitude and finding your sisterhood community. Sorry, Mark. Mine's a sisterhood.
Yeah, I
community.
get it.
But you have to open your heart and find the tribe that is going to grow with you, that's not going to judge you as you grieve, because let's face it, we get judged enough in the outside world that we need to find a sisterhood or a community that embraces your grief and witnesses your grief and they accept you for who you are right now. Come as you are, even if you come with pajamas on to a Zoom meeting, I don't care. You know, just come and join the sisterhood. Protect your heart. That one is actually one of my favorite ones because I did not write about the financial aspect of it until I rewrote my book.
Oh, yeah, that
Because
was so good too.
I didn't think, okay, you know, God called me, you know, to now do this calling for widows. But my background is finance, and so my first draft did not have the financial reference guide for new widows. It's in my, after I gave it all to God, that I wrote a whole
It
chapter
was good
about
too. I
finance.
remember that, thinking this is great information. Everybody needs this.
Yes. And I was like, why didn't I write about that in my first draft? That's like so helpful. And that's what I actually get talked to about the most. Everyone thanks me for creating that guide. And if you buy my book, by the way, it's on Amazon. You can buy the Kindle version or the paperback version. I actually give you three free grief guides. And one
Awesome.
of them is the financial reference for new widows. Such amazing tips in there that I wish somebody had told me because I made so many financial mistakes. And I came from the world of finance and I still made so many mistakes. Because of widow's fog, because grief is exhausting. I never shut down his all his ESPN subscriptions. I mean, I was paying for so many things because I didn't take the time to go through my checking account or call a financial advisor. So I would definitely recommend anyone that buys my book to pull that up, and they can just contact me. They can send me an email at thepositivewidow@outlook.com or look up my group name, The Positive Widow, on Facebook. And let me know that you bought the book, and I can send you the three free grief guides.
That's
That's
awesome.
awesome. Yeah.
It's funny because a lot of the things you talk about that you've talked about are episodes that Michelle and I have done. Have you noticed
It's
that,
crazy.
Michelle? Like, so that we did one called Call on Your Tribe. And then another one is Don't Fall for Counterfeit Comfort, and that's where we addressed all the people that get into, we all, have struggled. We all went through a season of like absolute darkness and stuff. And yeah, for a lot of us it was eating, for a lot of us it's drinking, for a lot of us it's, drug use or whatever, or, all kinds of things. But for me it was shopping. That was my thing, is I just always wanted to be excited about the next package that was coming to my porch, and so every day I'd come home and I'd be excited about my Amazon packages or whatever it was. So yeah, anyways, I just found that interesting, that I'm like, man, like she's like talking about so many things that we
I
have
know, they're
done
really
specific
important
episodes
things.
about. It's great.
Yeah,
That's
which are also
so funny.
titles. They're also titles of chapters in my book. That's kind of where we got the idea for some of the podcasts. So
Oh,
it's
good.
very cool that it's the, I mean, they're things that need to be talked about. So I'd love to know, what did, were there certain songs or verses that helped you through your dark period?
So The Blessing is one of
Oh,
my
love
favorite
it.
songs.
Oh, yes.
I listened that, oh my goodness, when I would have the worst anxiety attacks. I would put, I'm like, Alexa, play The Blessing. And I'm like, Alexa, on repeat. That was what I kept doing. And I would take
I'm waiting for
like,
it to start playing now because you
I know.
oh,
If it was like, if it
said
was on speaker, she'd probably start talking. Yes, she'd probably be
it.
playing it. Oh, no, that's a good
Yeah, and
one.
then and Gratitude. By Brandon Lake is one of my ultimate favorite ones because so often when we are grieving, we forget to think of just the little things that we can be thankful for. And so that one, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? And then I love Waymaker.
Oh,
Um,
yeah,
so
so many
yeah,
good
yeah,
ones.
so many good songs.
We
The
played.
Blessing, for some reason, always brought me to
Oh
tears.
my
Just,
gosh, yes. We played that at Luke's graveside service.
Oh, did
So I
you?
couldn't hear that for a long time.
Oh, I'm
And then,
sorry.
no, I love it now. And also, so as he was dying, we were playing I Can Only Imagine. So I still change the station if I hear that one because it's still too hard. But The Blessing, I can listen to it now. It is such a good song.
It's such a
So,
good song.
my friend Anthony sung I Can Only Imagine at Lacey's Celebration of Life. He did a great job. It was neat too, cause he did worship for our church, and I was just very grateful to him for doing it. And it was like something he told me. He's a very shy guy, but it's amazing. When he gets up on stage, you'd never guess that because he's so talented. But he said, "I just want you to know, like, I'm gonna do my best to do a really good job singing this song for her." And he led worship through the whole thing, and it was just beautiful. He's just got such an awesome voice, and he was up there by himself. I don't know. So anyways, yeah, I just, when you said that, Michelle, it's like, yeah, I was like strong, you know, building up to the celebration of life, and it was during COVID. And so it took us like a month to put the celebration of life together. And
yeah,
I was like, okay, like, be strong. Like, I practiced my, oh my gosh, what's the name of it? When you, not the obituary. Oh my gosh, what do you call it?
Oh,
the
eulogy.
Thing I wrote. Eulogy. Yeah, eulogy. Thank you. I drew a blank on that word. I practiced that so many times because I didn't want to break down. I wanted everybody to hear who Lacey was, and she deserved me to not babble through the, or, you know, burbling, whatever, like crying through the whole thing. So I couldn't think of the word, whatever. But so, you know, I was so strong going into that celebration of life. Like, I'm going to do a great job. This is going to go excellent. And then Anthony started singing, and I was just like, and so anyways, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. I really like Waymaker too.
I love Waymaker. It just snaps me out of any dark moments I'm having, like those griefy feelings when they come up. Waymaker just puts me in a really good mood.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what has been the most challenging thing about being widowed?
Everything.
True. Yes. Is there something?
I know a lot of people were like, "Yes, sister."
Like, yeah, they're like, "Preach it." Yeah.
I think the misunderstanding of spousal loss has just, because people will, they would compare me to somebody who lost a cousin.
No.
And they would be like, "Mm-mm. But Christina, you should be able to go back to work tomorrow. So and so just lost their cousin, and they're already back to work." You know, and they were judging me, so I started to judge myself, and that's why I said that I'm on a mission to raise awareness so widows don't have to grieve alone in silence or shame, because I judged myself, and I actually shamed myself, too, because I was comparing myself to people who lost their pet, who, you know, lost a coworker at work, and even if they lost, I lost my mom, I lost my dad after the loss of my husband. But there's nothing that compares to the loss of your spouse, other than I would imagine the loss of a child. So when I went through grief education training, that's what they said the two biggest losses are the loss of a spouse and the child. And they don't understand that it's all the little things, those hundreds of secondary losses, when you're at the grocery store and you pick up the phone and go, "Hey, babe, key lime pie's on sale." And you're like, "Oh, I can't call him." It's so final. Death is just so final, and you never can have that conversation. But it's also the hardest part for me is because Emma was so young when I lost my husband, being a solo mom and constantly wanting to like grab his hand when Emma won a volleyball championship game and, you know, go, "Oh my gosh, that's our daughter, our little girl. Look at," and you realize he's not here. And you know he's not here, but you still, I don't know if you guys have ever gone through that. You know they're not here, but you still reach over wanting to like grab his arm and go, "Look at what our little girl is doing." And so I think the most difficult part has been to accept that he took all of our memories with him, and now I'm the only one that is carrying all those memories. And that's why I think the fear would come in, because if something happened to me, I'm like, I want to leave a legacy. So that's why this book, I think, I really poured my heart into it and the stories, because I was so scared that if something happened to me, Emma, now she has nobody to tell her those stories if I don't write this book. So it was to help everybody else, because I share all the grief tips and healing tools, but it was also for Emma to have some stories about our relationship, our marriage, that for her to understand that she was born through our love that God blessed us with. And, you know, I'm sure you saw the dedication. I've had a lot of people tell me that my dedication brought them to tears. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I had to leave that in there. It was just, this was a book for him too. So,
yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So the misunderstanding about grief That's, I think, it has been the most challenging part for me. I don't know if you saw that in my book. I talked about, well, I think I took it out because I didn't want to, you start, you're going to figure this out, Michelle. You want to share messages, but then you don't want to hurt feelings.
Right.
And so I know I talk about this in my group. They've heard this story many times, but one of the secondary losses I mentioned was losing friends, but I don't think I shared this story of what my bereavement counselor told me. So that was my biggest secondary loss that broke my heart. I thought for sure that all of my friends and family would be my biggest support system. And then I found out from my counselor, my bereavement counselor, that I felt abandoned. And she said that now that my husband died, they look at me and they're now facing their own husband's mortality. So they're uncomfortable because, and I'm like, what do you mean? He had cancer. It's not contagious. And she says, but they think that because you lost your husband, they're now going to lose their husband. And I'm like, what? And then she said that a lot of them looked at me like, oh, she's young. She has a little girl. Now their husband may want to come and swoop me up and be the knight in shining armor and rescue me from grief. And I was like, what? We were all friends. So that was her second. Wow. Yeah. And then it was just number three. They wanted the old Christina back. I'm like, but I want the old Christina back too. You know, I wish I could have the old Christina because I used to be a multitasking queen and I could just pick up, you know, Emma, put her in the car and let's go somewhere. And no, grief just knocks you down. That lifestyle that you had, that freedom that you had, that went out the window when you lost, when I lost my husband. So,
you know what I found interesting is it's still, I was very, like, I remember telling a couple friends this, that like, I'm still the same person. You guys all changed.
Mm-hmm.
You changed because I became uncomfortable to hang out with. And like you said earlier, I've commented on this, Michelle and I have several times that, people are afraid to bring her up, bring him up. And like you said, oh, I didn't want to remind you about it. Yeah. And it's like, I didn't forget.
Yeah.
Like every single day of my life, I see it, I recognize it, I feel it, I know it, I'm aware of it. Every time that I have to make the kids dinner, every time I have to do homework with them, every time I'm overwhelmed or whatever, it's like, I did not forget.
Right.
But you can't also, we also promote, showing people grace that thank God they don't understand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've had people say that they're like, God, it's like, you know, you're different now. Like it's hard. It's, I can't remember. I remember a specific friend that said something. I don't remember exactly what he said. It was like, he was kind of hinting at it. Like it's different hanging out with you now, something along those lines. And I was like, but I'm not different. I haven't changed. I'm still me. I've been through something difficult. But you guys have all changed. You guys are all so awkward around me now. You know, and there were a lot of people that weren't like that. There were a lot of people that handled it really well by my side. But yes, there was very much this feeling of like, I felt people ignoring me.
Yes. And so I said, I felt like I was living on an island of grief all by myself. Yeah, I've never heard the widower's perspective, Mark. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. I struggled with grocery shopping. That was my big thing.
What was it?
I struggled with grocery shopping. Oh, I've talked about it on here several times. That was my big thing. I mean, I had a lot of things I struggled with, but so it is different from a widower's perspective because we have had widower guests on here. And their struggles were very similar to mine. Mm-hmm. And then when we have widows are very similar to Michelle. So Michelle would often talk about, and Tina, the girl I'm with, she talked about the same thing, that her biggest things were like having to do the stuff that her husband used to do.
Yes.
Mowing the lawns, setting the traps, as Michelle would say, you know, the mouse traps or whatever, like all that stuff, fixing things around the house. You know, a lot of people are very capable and pick up that slack and they do it, but it's not that they want to. So Tina, she is very good. She's very smart and very capable of picking up a hammer or a drill and figuring things out for herself or doing the mulch in the garden or whatever it is. But she's like, I still shouldn't have to be doing this alone. And that's what causes me grief is that I had somebody who would lift these heavy bags for me. Or whatever. And so it is very different from the widow and widower's perspective. But at the end of the day, we all have the same experience, but it's just different. So I know that's quite a contradiction, but that's how I roll. I just contradict myself all the time.
Well, we all had to learn how to survive.
Yeah.
People will ask me now, like, how did you get through those days? How did you get so strong? And I'm like, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
you know?
exactly.
What was I supposed to do? I had a little girl and I had to keep going. And yeah, so it's very nice to hear that from a widower's perspective. But yeah, everything fell apart. After he died, it was like, everything at the house, my car. I was like, why? Why now? Like, everything would fall apart. And I've heard that from a lot of widows. So,
go ahead, Michelle.
I was just going to say that's one thing that makes our podcast unique. We haven't found another one that it has a widower also. And so you get, you know, both perspectives. And we have, I mean, it's probably like, I think it's like 80% women, but we have like at least about 20%. So we have, you know, several, a handful of men that listen and can feel like they can relate.
Yeah, I love the different perspective. Thank you.
When we say widow, like on our podcast and in my book, all of it, it means widower as well. Like we use it synonymously. But like it means the same thing. So like at the beginning of my book, I say it, when I say widow, I also mean you. So when I started my book, I started it just for women. And it was, I'd say, find the sisterhood, like very similar. But then I started doing the podcast and realized that I wanted to speak to men also. And so I kind of changed it a little bit. But anyways.
So it's interesting because something I've noticed is there are a lot of widowers out there. Yeah. But men
not
aren't
a lot of
as inclined to, first of all, reach out for help.
Right.
And, you know, we're kind of taught to just be tough and get through stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely not a lot of men that post about their experience on social media. I've met a few coaches here and there and things like that. And if there's, you know, some social media people that are pretty big and stuff, but there are way more women that are talking about their grief journey through widowhood than men. So that's how Michelle convinced me to do this podcast. I did not want to do it. I was like, no, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
No, it's interesting to hear it from your perspective because I'm in a sisterhood. So I know the stories from a widow's perspective. But I did have a lot of widowers actually reach out and said they bought my book.
Awesome. I think you can help them too. Yeah.
Yeah. They just said that whenever I said husband, they knew wife.
That's cool.
Just so our audience knows, is your group, is that just for women? Is that just widows?
It is.
Okay. Well, no, that's totally
for widows.
Totally fine. Like I have a group that meets here and not that men aren't allowed, but we just haven't had any and I think it would change the dynamic. So I get that. So as you meet widowers, please send them to Widow Too Soon so they can hear a man's perspective and be part of our community page.
I have. So with my applications, I'm collecting email addresses asking because I can send blogs and, you know, especially if Facebook ever goes down,
right.
I want to be able to reach
smart.
Them. And
that's
them
how
know this
we need to do that. Very smart.
So I think yesterday I counted that I had over 160 widowers.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I continue to track them and like, well, maybe one day I'll find a place to send them to.
Send them to us, please.
This is a blessing. Honestly,
it'll be a blessing to them.
I feel bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is just for women widows. But it's because we talk about a lot of topics, Mark, that I don't know that you would.
No, I get it. There's a very important distinction sometimes in separating the genders. There's a lot of call for that. Also for men too. There's a lot of time, like men wouldn't feel comfortable opening up around women and women wouldn't feel comfortable opening up about around men. So, like, if you're in, like, a group therapy session, for example, if there's a man in the group but seven women, that changes the whole dynamic. People aren't going to feel as comfortable talking about their, you know. So I get that. I don't feel left out or anything, but thanks.
Okay.
But now. I definitely will send them your way then.
That's awesome.
Cool.
We appreciate
that's
it.
That's awesome.
They can really.
We connect. All have to help each other.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
They need us. They actually really need us. They need that extra love, that support, that kindness, that compassion.
I love, can you say again, you have a very clear defined mission. Can you say that mission again? What is it?
I am on a mission to raise awareness because we still live in an uneducated grief society. And I don't want any widow or widower, I'll start saying that now, anyone with spousal loss to have to grieve alone in silence or shame. Mm.
So good. Like, everyone should have a life mission. Like, that's really good. I absolutely.
That's how I found my purpose. I turned my pain into purpose.
Yeah, you truly did.
I did not. I'm like, God, why are you asking me to serve widows? I'm in finance. I mean, talk about a big career shift.
So, yeah. But, you know, yeah. Like, God uses our skill and expertise in certain areas to apply to other areas. Yeah. I would not have been able to do this podcast, say, 15 years ago. I was very shy. It was very uncomfortable to me to speak in front of people, let alone crowds, let alone that we, you know, broken 51,000 listens on this podcast. That's like pretty overwhelming to me. But at the same time, if I had never worked in restaurants serving tables, that's where I was forced to overcome my fear of talking to groups of people. Well, before I knew it, it took a couple months for me to get there, but before I knew it, I could talk to parties of 25 people, 50 people. When I did my wife's celebration of life, there was probably 250, 300 people there, and I did not have any anxiety about talking in front of that many people. And I've always said, like, once you learn that you can talk in front of, like, three people, where you're actually the one talking and people are listening, you can talk in front of 3,000 people. It's the same thing. And so God prepares us for what we're going to do with our life, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I've had this random experience through my life that I feel like has all, like, kind of led up into what I do and, you know, parenting, being a father. Yeah. I feel like all the things I've learned have taught me how to be a father. And, you know, anyways, I mean, I could go down that rabbit trail for a long time, but I really do feel like just because you were in finance, it doesn't mean that this isn't your calling now, because that is a huge part of being widowed, is getting your finances in order, you know?
And the anxiety comes from finance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And that's why I was like, why didn't I write about this in my first draft? And it was when I rewrote after giving it to God. So he must have known, okay, this is your experience. Why are you not sharing this? Mm-hmm. You know?
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not done yet.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful to see your willingness to be open when you write a book or speak on a podcast. Like, you have to be authentic and you have to be vulnerable, because that's what people connect to. And I definitely, you know, saw that in your book. So congratulations on being willing when you're like, I'm a vessel, God, like, whatever, you know, that's probably not what you thought you'd be doing. I know Mark didn't think he'd be speaking on a podcast, you know, like, God uses us in all kinds of ways when we're willing to be, like, open and ready for him. So it's amazing what you've done. So what advice would you give to a new widow? I mean, there's probably so much, but just some things that you
think of. Oh, there's so many tips and tools I share inside the book even.
Yes.
Let me think about the Encourage Your Heart. That's the last chapter, and that's about finding hope and joy again and finding that purpose and meaning after loss. So my biggest advice would be to ask for help, even if it was hard for me to ask for help. And I told myself a story that nobody was there to help me. But then when I look back, I realized that I wasn't asking for help either. So, and I would definitely encourage you to ask for help. In my Open Your Heart chapter, when it's about vulnerability, I actually give you exercises and lists to create, and you'll be surprised that there are going to be people that will want to help you when you go through those exercises. Ask for help, and then try to lean into your faith instead of the fears, which is what I did. You have to work through grief. You're never going to be able to move forward if you shut down those emotions. You're not going to be able to heal what you don't feel. So that's where I expressing your emotions is all over my book.
Yes.
I see that everywhere.
So good.
That's hilarious. You just seriously said Michelle's catchphrase through this whole podcast. What you feel, you can heal. Like, if I had a dollar for every time she said that in this podcast, I wouldn't be doing this podcast.
We can heal. No, I'm kidding. Awesome. You said the same thing. So yeah. I had a friend reading my chapter one yesterday. She's also widowed. And she's like, everything is great, but I don't understand this last sentence. And it said something about, so let's something as we move forward and heal as we feel. And And it was like, I need to explain that before I add that in there. I just forget everybody doesn't know the whole what we feel, we can heal. So I need to go back and change that. But that's great advice. Mark, did you have any other questions, comments?
No, I just like to piggyback on and say congratulations on the success of your book. Thank you. That's awesome. And it's such an awesome thing to feel that like what God put in your heart was that you were following the right path. That's super cool. And it's just neat to meet someone else that's that recognizes the need for help in this area, that there's so many people that are, it's one of, if not the most stressful events that can happen in somebody's life.
Yeah. It is.
It's so difficult to have all your hopes and dreams, and the inside jokes is something I always say, and all the little quips and the things that you've learned about each other and the idiosyncrasies and all that stuff to just gone like that. It's gone. It's nobody else knows about it except the two of you, and now it's just you. And so it is an extremely stressful, traumatic event, and there's so many people going through it. So Michelle and I are not quite as far out as you, but you know, we're almost four years for me. So it's like we forget sometimes that a lot of the people listening are in the very, very beginning. And so when we hear somebody say, like, I lost my husband in, you know, February 2024, we're like, oh, whoa, that like just happened, you know? Yeah. And so there's it's crazy too, because there's episodes that we recorded, you know, 3 years ago that people are just now listening to, that their spouse hadn't passed away yet when we recorded those. So it's like this, because of the times we live in, this stuff is locked in time. It's, you know, and so putting a book out there, you know, podcast, whatever. So anyways, no, that's, I just wanted to say congratulations, and I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
It's cool that you've helped so many people.
Something really cool a listener shared with us, Angela Heights, shout out Angela, is she sent me this thing, and it was about how, because times have changed, so the verse about go out into all the world, you know, about going out, that now is books, podcasts, like all of that, like what we're doing, what you're doing with your book and your group and what we're doing, like we are being missionaries. We are going out into the world because of technology. And it's just an amazing thing. And so, you know, congratulations with everything you do and for taking, seriously taking your pain and making purpose out of it. Like, that's amazing. And I'm just excited about this, like, partnership between the Positive Widow and Widow Too Soon, and how we can refer each other. It's great.
And then I'm excited about your book. Oh, my gosh. And I'll definitely have you come on live inside my group.
Oh, thank you. And one more little connection that you can share, too. If you go back a couple episodes, we interviewed someone named Natalie. She has, like, a couple last names. I can't remember. And she's a widow. She runs a non-profit for brand new widows, like 18 months or less, who have children that are under 18, like still living at home, and they just want a vacation. So she has a home in Dallas they can come stay for free. And so they just have to apply for it. So I got to get you that information to put on your page, because she's like, she reached out to me. She's like, sometimes it's empty and it breaks my heart. We need more widows. So she came on and talked to that. So we'll get you the information, right?
Oh, and my gosh.
Here's another thing. I know, listeners, you've already heard this, but I got to explain this. It's a good review if you have heard it. So not only do these widows get to apply, then they create a gift registry of all the places they want to visit with their kids. The zoo, this. They have they do it, and then they have a friend who gets it out to all their friends, and they have people donate all these experiences. So their whole vacation is basically free, like gift cards for restaurants, gift cards for places to go.
Oh, my goodness.
And she created it because when she was a new widow, someone did something like this for her, and like how hard it is to travel on your own, and just anyways, if you go back to, I can't remember, it's called Broken Halos Haven, and go back a couple episodes, I'll send it to you. You can hear her whole story and what she does, and we have an application there, and we just are trying to get the word out to more widows, so she is, you know, there's people coming. That's what she wants. So
Tina actually listened to that episode and was extremely inspired by it, and said that she wants to do something similar to that, that she really likes the idea of that, trying to do something like that. So it was a very inspirational
Maybe Natalie can come in inside my group. I mean,
she'd love to. We'll get you guys connected.
Yeah, I've got
You have a
over
lot of widows.
10,000. It's on the brink of over 15,000 once
That's
I
awesome.
really remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just very protective of my
That's great.
sisterhood, so it takes a long time for me to make sure you're legitimately a widow.
Yeah,
Um,
that's
so
good.
the approval process is a little bit behind right now because there's a lot of applications, but it's worth the wait, I promise you. So
Yes, so we'll
to
put a
join the
link to
group.
that too also. So,
Okay, thank you.
well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate
Yeah.
it. And Mark, would you?
Thank you.
Yes, Mark, would you pray for us today?
Sure, I'd love to. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we got to spend getting to know Christina and for her ministry, Lord. I pray that you would bless it tremendously and bless many people through her ministry. We thank you so much for this opportunity to share it with our listeners. And we just pray, Lord, for all of those that are still hurting, still in pain, still in grief, and that you would be our main source of comfort, and that we would remember that all of these things that we talk about in this podcast and that Christina talks about through her book are these are only possible because of you and the things that you've done in our world and that you've created for us. So Lord, I hope that you would help us remember that you are our primary source of comfort in these dark and trying times that we all have to walk through sometimes. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you do, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 If you liked this,
Thank you.
you're welcome. If you like this podcast, give it a little bing, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. If you have another second, you can write us a little review. It just helps get the word out to more people. Please join our Facebook community. So we have, if you just look up Widow Too Soon on Facebook, you'll find the big page, which is great. But if you want to have more interactive, smaller community, look for Widow Too Soon Community. And there's a couple of questions. And then just like Christina, I have to approve you. We don't have so many, so it's pretty quick. We'd love to have you part of our community so you can find a safe place to be and also join Christina's as well if you have not done that. So we'll put the link below and get her book. Like, I don't fully endorse books usually. Like, I fully endorse this book. Like, Widow Too Soon endorses the Positive Widow book. Is it called the Positive Widow book? The Positive Widow.
The Positive Widow.
Just the
I
Positive
can
Widow.
just look.
We endorse the
Yeah.
Positive Widow, like every aspect of the Positive Widow. So I highly, highly recommend it. You are really going to get a lot out of it. It's a great book. So I think that's everything. You know, all the stuff we usually say. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, all the
All
places. All the places. And
the
we will
places. And
see you
TikTok.
on
That's how we met.
TikTok. Yes, that is how we met. But Mark's never been on TikTok. Actually, I've posted a few of your videos. Maybe sometime I'll get you to do something on there.
Wait, you
You know.
posted my videos on TikTok?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
You've been on some of them, like clips from the
Oh, gotcha.
podcast.
I was
Yeah,
like, what video is
surprise. I grabbed some videos off of your
this?
Facebook and then I like listened to
Congratulations, you have 1 million followers.
Yeah. No, I remember trying to get you to join TikTok and you're like, no, it's not really my thing. But it is a
Yeah.
great community. That's actually how I've connected with a lot of widows. So it's a great resource. So,
It really
anyways,
is.
we will see you again next time.
God
Bye.
bless.
Bye. Thank you.